Well, welcome everyone to our Wednesday evening service. I am pleased to see in the background places I recognize at Sunrise Ranch. Yay! There's so many of you who are back in your homes. I don't know if anyone is not back in their home, but it's wonderful to know that Sean and Kiahi got the water situation cleared up so people could return and take care of the things that were left behind. Some of that means home things, refrigerator things, etc. But I know the feeling of being back home and feeling safe and thankful is part of what is in some ways life-changing. We at times have the experience of being blessed so regularly that we have to be shaken up and taken out of the familiar to realize how blessed we are on a regular daily basis. So I would like to offer a video that was sent to me by Michelle, that he sent to me through Messenger, as a way for us to begin to continue in our time together. So Jim is going to play this video.
Are you for or against? We used to say. Often we did not know how else to get our way. To live, to create, to manifest our dreams. How we stood so strongly for forced us against what we opposed, it seems. Defining ourselves by what we are not has cornered us in this convoluted spot. When our right is born by making others wrong, we dance for dominance all day long. What if, while standing so passionately for, we embrace the contrast to meld in rapport? Light does not live to be against the dark. When light is being for, dark receives its part. You may have day, I may have night, yet both exist continually when you don't have to prove you're right. We are coming to know all things are related in this wisdom where all are created. Our left hand and right hand are opposite parts of a whole, yet the whole does not oppose itself. It houses our soul. Mother Earth and all relations are in this joint venture. Release being self-indentured in our adventure. It's time. Time to be valued opponents and amiable allies. A blessed tension that builds to ascension. Opposition is a creation of the mind. Being opposite is a natural state where reflection is refined. Encountering differences, do you think your thought or mine? What if instead they both could combine? What if a polarized world were a thing of the past? Now we have the ability to live whole at last. To live whole because we're starting to see we are all part of unity. Miracles await us as we begin to soar, flying past boundaries that constrained us before. What if the cells of our body and us were to choose, simply choose, to live and be heaven here at last? So violence and imbalance are things of the past. Cells changing the whole instead of the other way around. From all this deep awakening, we live in heaven found. So, are you for or against? We used to say. Now we can co-create our world in a magnificent way, holding your view while also seeing mine, brings us higher and deeper at the same time, uniting us together in our timely rebirth, building this garden of heaven on earth. Summon our hearts. Remove all doubt. Allow and create heaven all about.
Thank you, Michelle, and thank you, Jim, for playing that for us. It really touched me to see this piece as we in the United States are days away from an election, and also to see it in light of what David spoke about in The Last Pulse of Spirit about receiving blessing 360. And as we spoke about last Wednesday, ways in which we probably have blocked our ability to receive based on all kinds of premises. And the idea that we could be bringing different points of view and have that be creative excites me. And it also challenges me to be in the strength of who I am and know that there is a universe supporting life. And that's where my identity is, my identity with the truth of love and the birthing new life into the world. One of the things that was spoken about this Sunday in the service was about continuing to thrive in challenging times, to discover who we are as the challenging times are upon us, which, as David has mentioned and we're all aware of, we've had the virus. In the United States, we have these elections, and I know they're not just affecting the United States. The elections are being publicized around the world. And then we have these forest fires and the potential risk to Sunrise Ranch. These are challenging times. And I know just in isolation, so many of us are feeling challenged. And people at Sunrise having had to leave their homes and find rest and support outside what was familiar. There was something that JJ said on Sunday that I loved. She said, welcoming ministering angels. So there are ways in which we have angels ministering unto us through human beings as well as through the invisible. And there is a greater knowing of our desire and our hungering and thirsting after bringing the thirst-quenching spirit. At times a glass of water, as David spoke about on Sunday, is longed for and not even realized how much it's longed for until that glass is picked up and experienced. There are people hungering and thirsting after what it is you have to bring. And one of the ways in which we become good at bringing what we bring is by developing mastery and spiritual muscle. I loved what Tom said on Sunday about a pessimist, an optimist, and a spiritualist that sees what's present as all being available for creative possibility. So what I've asked is I have three good friends who are going to represent chapters from the seven steps to the Temple of Light, because I believe these steps are all about mastery. And I wanted to read the first line in this little booklet, which says, our function as emissaries is to let reality manifest in the world chaos, that in due season, the responding ones of the masses will be drawn into harmonization with the focal expression of reality, which is made manifest through us in the world. This was from 1936, I believe. I think the chaos that was present there is still present, and there still is a world hungering and thirsting to be, to hear the truth, the reality. And that every one of the steps in this booklet assists us to become masters spiritually. So I have asked in rotation for Uma Sisinkiahi to address the chapters of patience, tranquility, realization, assurance, radiance, and wisdom. And I'll finish with the last chapter, which is love. So over to you, Uma.
Thank you, Jane. When I think of patience, I realize that it's a much deeper thing than what we often attribute to the word. For example, we think of being patient with people, which is wonderful. We're all in process of transformation in one way or another. And knowing that I'm not perfect yet and nobody else is either, definitely supports an attitude of patience. But it's a lot deeper than that, isn't it, patience? It's patience with everything, everything. All the circumstances, the situations, all that is broken in our world, the heartbreaking circumstances that we become aware of that make us feel like we must do something. Patience isn't about not doing something. Patience doesn't mean we just sit around and do nothing. But patience involves feeling into, from a higher source, what is ours to do, if anything, in the moment, and feeling into that in the next moment, in the next moment. But no matter whether we're doing something or not, what we're holding in consciousness with patience is the realization that there is process. Things unfold over time and come around right over time. No doubt the universe is unfolding as it should in ways that we don't understand. We don't see everything. My ex-sister-in-law used to say, I can't pretend to know the whole big picture because I'm only seeing one square inch of the huge tapestry and it's only on the back side of it. So to realize that our vision isn't complete, we can stretch into a bigger picture vision. We can stretch into a cosmic vision. And we can imagine that all that's happening in our world right now is the unfolding of something greater. And I believe we all know that. Yet, in any situation and circumstance and in the big picture, there are so many things we do not know. So we have to be patient with whatever it is that's in front of us. I love this quote from the video that Jane played. When our right is born by making others wrong, we dance for dominance all day long. So our energy is going out in a frantic, scattered way when our right is born by making others wrong. But it's not just others. It's circumstances and situations. It's all that's happening in the world. As opposed to having our energy go out in a frantic, reactive, scattered way, we want to hold a center, calm place for our world, knowing that in the bigger picture, it is the all that is that's in charge, not me, not you. And we don't have to know what's the right thing that needs to happen next. But in stillness, compassion, and understanding, we can get through all of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Uma. I just want to work with some of what you said, because for me, that is kind of flows right into this idea of tranquility. And seeing things from a big picture brings understanding to myself that helps me to be trusting. Seeing that big picture, remembering, oh yeah, I remember in my life when I was going through a similar circumstance. And how I came through that circumstance, even though it was hard, you know, we're talking about challenging times here. And then being able to see it from this higher place and look and see how I've grown, the people that came into my life at that time, the love that I was able to give. So by seeing the big picture, by taking a step back from outside of what's happening right now and remember is one of the ways for me that I sink into that space of tranquility. For me, you know, when we think of tranquility, also it's that for me, it's like this undisturbed heart. You think of tranquil waters, right? You know, it's like you just see that and there's this relaxing feeling. There's this undisturbed peace, right? And so for me, I think when we're thinking of spiritual mastery, this is a continual dance with the divine that brings us this tranquility, because in that over time, there's this trust, there's this knowing that you're held, there's this knowing that you're guided, there's this knowing that there is this invisible realm that has your back. And there are times for all of us where, you know, in a challenging situation, we might get knocked off of our center. But I believe that as we spend time in nature, as we recognize the oneness of life, as we recognize our interconnectedness with all life and with each other and how we're a part of one thing, tranquility is present because there is peace, there is trust in that. So that's my what I wanted to say on tranquility. There's so much more to that, but those are the core things for me that bring me that. And when I get off center, I know the first thing for me is to come back to the divine, come back to God, come back to my connection with the all that is, and remember who I am. Pass it over to you, Kiahi.
Thank you, Cece. Joy and love. In realization, I was reading, it talks about the perfect plan. How about we plan to be in joy and love? Let's plan for that. In realization, the Blessed One is fully aware that all things necessary to the outworking of the perfect plan are already provided in every detail. Already provided in every detail. It's our human mind that feels that we're lacking, that it's not provided in every detail. It's our human mind that believes there is not joy and love in the moment. I've had a few experiences over that past week or so. Where is the plan? What is the next step? What is to be done? And it's so freeing to release knowing. Not knowing. To me, I feel that's part of the perfect plan. In that video, it says we define ourselves by what we are not. So if we feel that there's lack of tools, resources, direction, we're defining ourselves by that. We're boxing ourselves in, and that weight and that pressure just zaps any kind of love and joy, any kind of possibility that is in the moment. We can't see it even if it's right in front of us. We can see a situation, maybe an interaction with a person, as being burdensome. We don't see the possibility. We don't see the gift that is right in front, that is longing to be birthed. We don't feel it in the heart. Wow. In this chapter, it also talks about the way of perfect freedom. Perfect plan and perfect freedom. Kind of funny how they're in the same chapter, isn't it? Can we plan to be in joy and love and freedom? Plan to be in freedom. Plan to be released and open through the realization of love and peace in each moment. Inviting that of each other. Let's plan to be that. I pass back to Uma.
Thank you, Kiahi. So the next step is assurance. So we have patience, tranquility, realization, and then assurance. And assurance is born out of those other steps. Because at some point, when we experience realization, as Kiahi was speaking to, we come to assurance. We come to realize that there is a being, the source of all that is, seen and unseen, the creator, and there is a divine plan. That being is holding us, the divine, the multiplicity and singularity of the one divine is holding us in all things and is holding all situations in all things and all people and creatures. Everything that we could possibly be concerned about, worried about, or upset about is all being held within the arms of the divine. And that assurance allows us to bring a spiritual groundedness and stability into any circumstance that brings the presence of the one all that is into that circumstance. Because we are assured of the presence of that one, the presence of that one is present where we are because we bring it. Another quote from the video that I like a lot is, "The whole houses our soul." So when we're aware of the whole and we're assured of the presence of the whole, our soul is housed in that. When we identify with that reality as opposed to what's broken, as opposed to having a more worldly view of upset, confusion, hopelessness, and despair, we identify with the one all that is reality and know that we are that. We bring that to everything that we do and everyone that we meet. That's what's needed in the world more than anything. And when we are assured of the presence of that one in all things, we're able to receive what we've been talking about, receiving all the gifts, all the blessings from the universe. Some come through the people around us. Some come from people around the world, as happened for us during the fire and all the prayers that we received. And then many of those blessings happen in so many simple little ways. But every time we decide to stop and look, we see how blessed we are, how loved we are, how held we are, and all is right with the world. Cease.
Thank you, Uma. It's easy to see how this moves into radiance. I kind of refreshed myself before talking about this, went back to my little booklet, and I loved how it opens. It's radiance is the wellspring of life, the shining of the wonderful one. And even the word radiance itself, it's like you get this feeling of light, of shining, letting that little light of mine shine. And I think in times like this, when we really put our attention on, our awareness on this connection with the divine and the truth that that is us, that we are that. When we're really doing our work, when we're really connecting with that, there is such love and such power radiating through our being and going out into the world. This service to the world, this service and love, because I think there are moments for me anyway, I can only speak for myself, of this real sacred knowing that it's all one thing. It's all, we're all one part of one thing. And recognizing that each of us is here with a unique gift of the divine to bring in this world now. And I think radiance for me is really stepping into that authentic self, recognizing yourself as divine, acting from that place in courage and love and in service. And when our heart's there, when our mind's there, when we're just in the flow, to me, radiance is, I've heard that term, in the flow, because it's like, it's just this amazing reciprocity, this love that's going out, this service that's going out, this intuition that's guiding you to all these places where you are needed, your unique, authentic self is needed. And when you're in that place, all kinds of wonderful things happen. All kinds of abundance comes. Miracles happen. These synchronicities, it's that reciprocity, radiance. So that's, for me, is like constantly being aware of it's that that wants to come through. My authentic self. What are my gifts? How am I bringing them? What do I need to let go of that isn't serving me being my radiant self, my authentic self? And it's practice. It's awareness. We certainly know when we're not being radiant, especially in times of stress. We can feel it. We can see how it's affecting our world. And it's just, there's the signpost. You see it, you know? So it's just to be loving and radiant with yourself and patient with yourself, to get up and try again, keep doing it and allowing that radiance to come forth, especially in troubled times. And pass it over to you, Kiai.
Service to the master. The blessed one who becomes a doorkeeper in the house of his Lord is he who knows the outer mind is but a servant to the master. Trust, release. Our society is so against this. We are the master. Each person is responsible and the master of their world. Yes, there is, but there's a larger outworking. There's a master that animates all things, the loving source of life that animates all things, that knows the larger outworking, that's calling us to trust. It's not a puzzle where we know all the pieces. Have you ever done a puzzle and there's a missing piece? That feeling, sometimes frustration to complete, there's something missing. And then you realize, oh no, it's just this piece over here that was piled up with these colored ones that actually belongs with these group of puzzle pieces. It's a stepping back and allowing, opening up, seeing, being open to the master that's guiding all things. There was another point I wanted to point out, choose to live and be in heaven here at last. Boy, do we create a hell for ourselves when we think we know the wisdom, we think we know the answer, and we know how things should be. And we grasp at things to bring comfort and surround when the situation may be calling for us to go to another level of being that doesn't call for those things that brought comfort before. That if we bring these pieces with us, it's not gonna allow what's coming, calling to be birthed through us, through this situation, this time, this era in our lives even. Letting go of what brought comfort before actually calls for the new pieces, the new wisdom, the new experiences that we're meant to live into now. Jane.
Thank you, Kiahi. Thank you, Sisan Uma. I specifically chose this consideration this evening, the seven steps to the Temple of Light, because I do find in challenging times, there are tools that we haven't used as fully as we can. And it doesn't mean we are unaware of these tools, but there are ways in which we might be a quart low or underdeveloped in any one of these. The last step in the seven steps to the Temple of Light is love. And everyone seems to think they know what that's about. The quote I chose from this paper, from this booklet is, "He who is ready to let go and cease all strife and struggle is he who is ready to respond to love. Love is the law of expression in every human being, and he who harmonizes with this great law is he who begins to live a glorious and happy life here and now." So who's up for that? Anyone? The idea of letting go in these challenging times to the glory of the wonderful one within, to let go and cease all strife and struggle. I think sometimes the only way I can let go of strife and struggle is to stop watching television, because it's one way to stop seeing all the ads and all the unsettledness in this current election process. I had a conversation with someone today that wasn't about who should be elected or anything like that, but I said, I have this deep stress within me that one of the things of my country that I value so much is the privilege of voting. And the fact that people are interfering with this process makes me feel rebellious with regards to my country's stature. Like, it is something that I remember when I was 18 years old and I finally got to vote, and participate at a level of, this is my country. And so at a very basic level, there's something going on that is attacking a fundamental principle that's important to me. I still have to look at love and say, am I ready to let go and cease all strife and struggle and ready to respond to love? Well, the answer is yes. And in challenging times, I believe we have found, we have to go to the spiritual gym at times to really work some of the muscles that are not, we don't even notice the weaknesses or the lack of tone in them until we are in challenging situations. And we haven't been asked to utilize that part of our body, that part of our spiritual makeup. We have so many parts of our physical anatomy that we wonder sometimes, how did it ever get that flabby? Or how did I ever get this digestive problem? Or when did I ever get this out of shape? And sometimes it's just because we haven't had any circumstance that demanded anything from us. And in challenging times, I think spiritually we are called upon to look at the greatness and the strength that actually is present. The last line of this paper is familiar to most of us. You know, he says, let love radiate and thou shalt surely know love. The way we use that phrase is let love radiate without concern for results, because love will have its way. Love wins. It doesn't just win in the end. Love is winning right now. And it is having as much access to us as we allow, based on how available we are to this blessing that's coming 360 for our forward movement. So we're going to break up into groups of two, and I have three questions that I'd like us to consider together. You can go back and forth, or what you can do them, one person answer them all, and then the next person answer them all. We're going to have 10 minutes. Here are the questions. What spiritual muscle have you developed during these challenging times? Like, there are ways in which challenging times have pushed you to develop certain spiritual muscle. So what spiritual muscle have you developed during these challenging times? The second question is, what could use a workout? Like, are you finding areas of flab, areas of low function that could use some building up, some strengthening, some toning up? And the last question is, what gifts have come to you recently from the spiritual strength of your friends that you would like to acknowledge and appreciate? So we're going to go into groups of two. Some of us will be in groups of three because there are two people on the line, and we'll have a chance to address these questions. So Jim, if you could split us up, I'd appreciate it. Well, thank you, everyone. We have some time now for feedback from the group into things that you might want to share about the things that you shared with your partner.
Well, I was just pretty much awed by the vision that I received when I evacuated Sunrise Ranch. I didn't know what to expect when I was driven away from the ranch on Friday night, 12 days ago. And it's kind of darkness upon the face of the deep. But Robbie and Roshana Ariel and Robbie Robbins, just rolled out the red carpet. And there was such a wonderful provision, giving me my own bedroom, my own bathroom, filling the refrigerator with everything that I could possibly want. And just in every way, making life easy for me. And so seeing that from them, it's just motivating me. If I ever have the opportunity to provide that for someone who comes to me, I would certainly do that. The reciprocity that I experienced being with them, receiving from them, and then in some ways giving to them, it's just been a wonderful experience. And it has certainly strengthened my spiritual muscle, and I'm sure theirs as well.
I'd like to give my deepest gratitude and thanks for this consideration tonight, because that little booklet is so precious to me. And it's really like my Bible. And over 20 years ago, when I was at the ranch before and studying with Roger, I came home with that little booklet. And I just love it. It's so precious to me. And then to top it off, we were in a small group with Diana. And we hadn't been in a small group together before. So tonight, here we are working with the seven steps, and which I got with her dad. And here she is. And we just had a wonderful reunion. And so I just feel, and the gift that I get from my friends is all of you and being together in this vibration and seeing each other and all of the love and radiance and friendship and authenticity and just continue deepening together in this way. I'm just immensely grateful. So thank you so much. And it's wonderful to see you all back in your homes.
I was sharing with Lyndall regarding the first question about the spiritual muscle that has been developed during this time. And I was thinking of the time, the pandemic. And I live alone, but I'm always with people. And I really have always relished that. I enjoyed my time alone, but the time that I spend with people, I've always loved. And I find myself, you know, through this time of really having to spend a lot of time alone, you know, just valuing my own health and that was a muscle that I really developed, so that now I'm very comfortable. I mean, I'm still looking forward to being able to be, you know, more interactive with my friends, but of course, and the Zoom calls have been wonderful. So the time with my spiritual family has been, you know, the most precious thing. But that was one of the things that really developed that acceptance. And this, and it's like, this is the way it is, and it's okay. It's okay. And I can utilize the time to do whatever it is, whether it's in meditation, whether it's getting things done in the house, whether it's this, that, and the other thing, it doesn't really matter, but to utilize that time creatively. But the most important part was feeling comfortable and accepting things just the way they were and just the way they are. So that.
Hello, this is Dorian. I had the great pleasure of spending time with Jerry. I've forgotten his last name, his Spanish context. And we have decided we will spend more time together and develop our sense of one another's cultures. But not for the sake of the culture, but for the sake of our agreement in spirit.
I am in 100% reciprocity with Dorian. I feel I was very lucky to connect with him and to see him back home. So things I have noticed from Dorian is his resilience and also his presence of love. So I was very lucky to have a chat with him, and I look forward to continue having conversation and a friendship / relationship with Dorian and with all of you.
I'd like to ditto a couple of those things. One of what Jerry was talking about, of being taken into Jane's home with such love and such caring. And it happened that Dorian was also there. And although I think I've known Dorian pretty well over the 4 years I've been here, it was not in the same way, but sharing a table for meals and getting to know each other in at a different level. And so the three of us being able to have a different kind of bonding than we might have, because Jane doesn't live on the ranch. And so having more opportunity to open our hearts in ways that just wouldn't have occurred maybe otherwise. So it's, and there were some other, other things that we talked about in our small group, but I think that stands out so dramatically that things happen and they have all kinds of effects. And one of those effects is hearts opening. So thank you. Thank you all.
I also would just like to, it's been already expressed by Katie and I think somebody else. Layla. And that is, I've been very thankful for David's vision of bringing us together, making the calls available for the Edenvale family to join you and many others, and to spend this time together as Katie has said, the hearts just opened up to a larger extent. And I know something's been drawn out of me out into a larger expression and a greater opening in my heart. And I have been so thankful for that gift. It's almost indescribable of the value of that. And I know Patricia touched into that as well. Yes, it's beyond description for me, but so important and so valuable, and to just allow that to grow and to be able to offer it to many in my world, because I know some of my friends are saying that they feel so alone. Life moves too slowly for them. So some of us who have received all these gifts, it's very important to keep passing them on and meeting those friends who really want something of a deep heart experience that I can offer them. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Phyllis. I think your words reflect some of the experience of the hungering and thirsting that we were speaking about on Sunday. Like we have the goods to quench the thirst and the hunger of each other and of people who are hungering and thirsting. And it's really important that we pay attention to what we're serving up. And that's why this whole buffet of spiritual gifts, spiritual mastery is available to us, and also to be appreciated as we look at what's been given to us by our friends. I mean, because of the pandemic, I have gotten to see some of you far more frequently than I have in my life. I mean, I look at the people who are on this screen in front of me who don't live at Sunrise Ranch, and I would never have had so much interchange with you if it wasn't for the pandemic, because we are doing services online this way, or sharing attunement, or sharing the assurance, like when we have the women's meeting or the Sunday service and we are holding the radiance into the world. I mean, that is a huge opportunity and a powerful gift that I find is having magnificent impact. And these are spiritual muscles that they're not getting a workout in the sense that, oh, do I have to go to the gym? We have, this is like the opportunity to use them makes them more available, makes them stronger, makes them more usable by our friends. You could call someone who's on the screen knowing they're with you in a way that's more fully known than it was before. I'm grateful for Kiahi, Cease, and Uma saying yes to developing current around this little book that's been around since 1936. The truth hasn't changed. The truth of what this book offers us hasn't changed. We've been blessed by knowing what it means to be masterful, to be conscious and careful with our words, to be generous in our blessing, to be kind in our atmosphere, no matter if we're alone or with a lot of people. When you're alone, how kind are you being to yourself? How loving and supportive are you being to yourself? Do you deserve it? Is it a gift? How else is the gift going to be given to you if you're by yourself, if not by yourself? So to just be generous in understanding, life will find a way to bless you. Don't be stuck in the ways in which you thought you had to receive it. I know I was the mail pickup for some people, and it was just, people were coming to my house saying, I just miss seeing my people. And it's like, well, get out of here. Here's your mail. No, that's not what I said. But it's this experience of just to be one-on-one with people who you have a great fondness for is such a blessing. And this is one way to do it. Another way is to do it in person. So let us quench the thirst of each other, quench the thirst of the world. Know that the world is hungry for what we have to say and do. And hold steady, because these are still challenging times. And just because people have moved back to Sunrise Ranch doesn't mean the pressure has been let off. There's still much for us to hold. Thanks for a wonderful evening. Thanks for being with me. Love you guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jane.